Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, when I first read this, I thought that this brother was making a very reasonable request. He wants some of the family inheritance, so go figure. Why should one brother get it all? I mean, really. But that's the way it was then. It still is in many places. The oldest brother gets it all. That's just the way it is. In biblical times, the theme about inheritance, including the inheritance of God's blessing, always went to the first male child. But Jesus says in this text, in this story, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" Now, maybe this guy had heard Jesus' teaching and thought to himself, he's taught about everything else. He's taught to be generous. He's told everybody they should love one another. Maybe he'll help me out here and make things fair and right and holy. Maybe he thought he would come to his cause and give that older brother a good talking to. But he declines wanting to help divide the family inheritance in a way that today we would consider completely unfair. Men and women alike, all the siblings, of course, should get a fair portion. My hairdresser, Julie's hairdresser, is from Iran. And we were talking about inheritance this week. Not because of this, just coincidence. And I asked her what would happen in her family when her mother dies. Her father died many years ago. And she said, "My mother has decided to divide all the wealth between all the brothers and sisters, contrary to convention in her country." So we both said, "Yay, Mom!" Then Jesus, as he often does, will start a story, talk to people about how he feels, and then he puts it into a parable to make his point and explain why he was not going to help the brother get a portion of all that wealth. He tells the parable of what is often referred to now as the rich fool. The rich fool who accumulated more wealth by growing more crops, and now he has this terrible dilemma. Oh dear, what should I do with all my stuff? Maybe put some of it in public storage. Maybe order a pod delivered to my driveway. No, I'll tear down those barns I have and I will build bigger barns. Plural, many barns. Ah, when that is done, I will say to my soul, soul, I love this line, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. To which God says, not so fast. You can store up all the treasures you want, But tonight, tonight, this very night, death will come for you. And then whose stuff will it be? Which actually, in my mind, says that maybe now the brother gets all the stuff, but that's confusing and it would be a different sermon. The point Jesus is making is not rocket science. If you spend your life accumulating stuff, more and more stuff, even if it is crops, there will be a time when it cannot save you. In fact, in the end, it'll all go to somebody else. Even if it ends up in prograde, it won't be yours anymore. I am so struck by the language here that the rich fool uses when he talks to himself. I have never noticed that in this text before, where he talks to himself and says, soul, 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 let's build bigger barns and lock them up and not share and keep the riffraff out, including any greeting siblings, so we have enough forever. So we have security forever. Today is the beginning of our focus on what it means to be generous. Our focus on stewardship, prayerfully discerning what our giving should look like. What gifts can we bring to our God? And this year, the theme that we have chosen is unlocking generosity, the heart of giving. We'll journey together to think and pray about the word generosity. Robert Shinas, in his book, Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, say, the practice of generosity describes the Christian's unselfish willingness to give in order to make a positive difference for the purposes of Christ. I love that. For the purposes of Christ. Generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, a worthy spiritual aspiration. And I know, brothers and sisters, that this is the one area we do not like to talk about. It feels like fundraising, and it is not. It isn't fundraising. It's helping each other develop generosity as a core value of what it means to be a Christian. It is a core value to have a generous heart. Did the rich fool lock up all his food, all his wealth, making it unavailable to anyone? If he did he assume that all that abundance came out of nowhere? He earned it all himself. Did the crops not need the sun and the rain? Did the barns not need the trees and the laborers? The parable doesn't tell us what the rich fool did. We hear that on that very night his life was over, that he never even got to build his bigger barns. What would you do if you knew that your life would be over this very night? I'm imagining, for the sake of a good story, that the rich fool flung open the doors of those barns to the community. Maybe he said to his brother, this is now yours, share it with others. Don't make the mistake I made hoarding my wealth. Be a generous giver, live your life with generosity. Unlock the doors to the barns and to your heart. I like to think that all stories have happy endings, or maybe not happy endings, but Pastor Carey told us last week, joyous endings. Our thought for meditation this week is from C.K. Chesterton, and I just really love it. There are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more, and the other is to desire less. That's the harder part. That coveting thing is so easy. It's really much harder to desire less. So we sent out letters this week, and I think some of you got them with their heart cards in them, and some of you didn't, their heart cards in the pews. And the question is, what do you love most about your church? What does this church mean to you? And Julie told us, for her, it's diversity. It's an important question because our belief about God and our relationship with God influences greatly our relationship with the church. The church has been a part of my life since I was born. I cannot imagine my life without it. I can't imagine not working every Sunday, but I can't imagine my life without the church. It has always been there for me in the darkest times of my life. The people of the church have always risen up and helped me through those times. And it has all been made possible because the people who came before me unlocked their generosity. What if we took a lesson from the rich fool? And instead of worrying about having enough, we actually did build a bigger barn. Do you know where this church began in 1892? Some people over here are smiling and raising their hand. Across the street in what? In a barn. This church began in 1892 in a barn. And we have built a bigger barn. So if our intention now is to figure out how to build a big old barn where all are welcome, a giant barn where there's programs for every stage and walk of life, a big barn full of love and grace and generosity for all of God's creation, no longer focusing on acquisition and consumption and accumulation, but generosity, a key value that is meaningful and sacred in our lives. Soul, we will build bigger barns so we can be prepared to help build the kingdom. Unlocking our generosity, letting God's key unlock our hearts so we're not afraid. We have the courageous giving that we need. Not to store up treasures for ourselves, but so that we can follow Christ, so we can make a positive difference for the purposes of Christ. Take that line home with you, for the purposes of Christ. All giving is for the purposes of Christ. You figure out what those are. I know what some of mine are. And I know that the first thing that you have to do to accomplish this is to give yourself to the Lord. Again, different for all of us, but at the core. And then you have to make a choice to be a fool for Christ. In Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he wrote, "Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart." So my prayer for all of us today is that God will bless our journey as we seek to hear God's voice and unlock our hearts and our generosity. In Christ's name. Amen.